We're joined now on the KRLD Newsline by Dallas Attorney Rob Crane and Reverend Richie Butler. They're both with Project Unity. Really appreciate you two for joining us. Thank you so much. Tell me, Reverend Butler, the impetus of Together We Can and Project Unity. Tell us about what you're doing through Project Unity and why it's such a big deal at a key time.
Well, first and foremost, Project Unity has been around since 2014 and really with a focus of bridging divides. Were birthed as a result of what happened in Ferguson, Missouri, recognizing the challenges and the tension, the mistrust, anger, fear, everything that you don't want operating in community is what's been present. And so we launched Project Unity with really a focus on this tag, Together We. So everything we do within the Project Unity brand and work is around Together We Dine, to Together We Can, Together We Ball. We just believe what unites us is far greater than what divides us.
You're moving forward with this group, Together We Can. Rob, tell us about current things you're doing. I know that Together We Dine is kind of the April event, right?
So back in 2016, Pastor Butler and I were talking about what can we do to kind of spark conversations about race, because we don't talk about race very often. None of us do. We know that's part of a healthy future for our country. And then the tragic events in downtown Dallas occurred, where five police officers lost their lives protecting peaceful protesters on issues of race. And from that spurred Together We Dine, which we started in the beginning of 2017. And Together We Dine is where people come together. Pre-pandemic, we did so in person at faith institutions, local community places. I was president of Dallas Bar in 2017, which allowed us to utilize the leadership and services of so many volunteer attorneys. So we met quite frequently at the Dallas Bar headquarters. And we'd break up groups into tables of anywhere from 5 to 8 people and have a very modest box lunch or dinner. And we'd talk about race in a very structured format with facilitators, people answering introspective questions while folks listened to those answers and really understood where people came from with their different backgrounds and experiences. Then they would talk about what they heard that struck them in those answers. And it really is an organic exercise that opens people's eyes up to not only others' perspectives, but also that, hey, we can have these conversations. I don't have to be afraid of these conversations. And we can take these conversations back from loud noises on social media or cable news. And just a quick note, the pandemic has actually, excuse me, been a blessing in putting us all on this format we're talking on today, Zoom, which has allowed us to take these dine events all over the globe, which is what's happening now. It has just proliferated immensely. So the dine program has really been an anchor for launching these discussions and better relations across the country.
Now, as we continue to move on through the events in Minneapolis, the current trial of Derek Chauvin after the death of George Floyd, now another very controversial death at the hands of police in Minneapolis over the weekend, spurring more protests. You know, Reverend, I guess I just want to start here. As we watch the testimony, as we see reaction from what's happening in that trial, and then, you know, more unrest, and I guess just where do we start as far as just having a level head? Because you guys just do such a great job with conversations, these open conversations. How do we keep that going instead of it being an emotional reaction for any of us?
I think first and foremost, we have to acknowledge and I think wrestle with and allow for that space of anger and I think frustration. George Floyd wasn't the first and clearly is not going to be the last, and it's just part of a long saga of America. You know, as an African-American, I have my moments where I love Rob Crane. He's my brother. But man, when I think, you know, there's a lot to unpack. But I think what we're trying to do is to create a space where people can engage in a meaningful, substantive, and also a way forward that is more thoughtful, having given people a chance to vent. So once you vent it, then what? And we're also in this for the long haul. So we didn't create you know, our work, you know, yesterday or in response to just one incident. We recognize this is truly a marathon and America didn't get here overnight. And we've got to be one of those voices and vehicles that allow for all people to come aboard. And one of the things we say all the time is we are really trying to create more allies and fewer adversaries when it comes to the issue of race. So we're meeting people where they are. So if you're angry, we get that. If you're just completely asleep and have no awareness, but know that, man, something needs to change. We need to meet everybody.
So it kind of sounds like, Reverend, that it is not necessarily about this moment, the trial of Derek Chauvin, the death of George Floyd. It is just a way of life for you. And it's important for all of us just to take everything into account and not just react based on one event or another event.
I will also add, I do believe that George Floyd's murder awakened, in particular, my white brothers and sisters. I mean, and that was part of the reason we launched Together We Can. But I mean, in the midst of a pandemic where people were isolated and to watch how he died, it unearthed something. And so I do believe if we're on a continuum as a nation, when it comes to race, and a 10 is where we've arrived, and maybe we're at a 4. And typically, you know, something happens, it may move us from a 4 to a 4.005. I do believe George Floyd's murder has the potential to move us from a 4 to a 5, 6, or even 7. It really has that, I think, that kind of implications. But I also believe that we have to be very strategic and provide the kind of thoughtful, strategic leadership that gets us there.
Rob, what would you add about this as a man who is Caucasian and obviously has been in this conversation for several years now? How are you taking in the trial right now, about a year after what happened to George Floyd?
There's a lot in your question. And let me start with this. We all have blind spots. I have no idea what it's like to live and walk in the shoes of Pastor Richie Butler or any other African-American in our community. But I can try. And because I don't have that awareness of what it's like to walk in the shoes, I have blind spots. We all have blind spots. No matter what color we are, we're all going to have blind spots as to how it is others walk in this world based on our previous experiences because of the color of our skin. You know, for me, I've grown up as privileged as anybody has. And so what's important for me in being a better parent and being a better friend and being a better neighbor, I'm going to spend my time each and every day being mindful of my blind spots and try to fill in my blind spots. And that's all that, you know, all of us can do. Our Together We Can program, our mission statement is to educate, enable, and empower a lifestyle of mindfulness and action against racism. In Derek Chauvin's trial, it's been a good thing in the respect of it brings those moments back to the forefront and gets us refocused on these issues again. On the other side, there's so much pain that comes with reliving these moments for our African-American friends, brothers and sisters. There's both of those things that happen that come to my heart, you know, but I would say this, that where we can get to as a country is my white American brothers and sisters appreciate and recognize the amount of grace that has been provided us by our Americans of color, not just our African-American brothers and sisters, but our Asian-American brothers and sisters, Hispanic brothers and sisters. If we can appreciate the grace that they have shown in response to the history of this country, and then bring forth each and every day a mindfulness of our blind spots, a mindfulness of racial injustice in this country. Now we're moving this country into territory we've never seen before, and I believe we can do that.
I would ask you, Reverend, how are you taking in this particular trial?
The trial itself is part of a larger fabric and work that is, I believe, unfolding. I don't think race relations will be defined by the outcome of the trial. And that's why whether he's convicted, found not guilty, or whatever the outcome, the work is still before us. I think the outcome will, depending on what it is, what will just heighten some pain, frustration, and continued mistrust on the part of African-Americans in particular if a certain verdict isn't rendered. But from my perspective, a lot of this work really has to do with us, as Rob indicated, and that is creating this mindfulness and lifestyle around anti-racism. And that probably has to do more with my white brothers and sisters than African Americans. And so really helping to create more allies in this space is really my focus. I think there are a lot of people who know that there's a tragic past we have to reckon with. I think they want to figure out, what's my role and responsibility? If we're in this boat called the United States of America together, what's my role and responsibility for helping to move us forward? And most people have no idea, for as an individual, what that means and what that looks like. And I think we have to be able to provide a space where, you know, as a pastor, all of God's children can participate in a meaningful way in moving us forward. And that part of that meaningful way is literally developing this mindfulness and lifestyle, you know, around being anti-racist and understanding what all that means. And let's be honest, few of us want to deal with the past, especially when it's not positive. If you're married and been married, and you've done something and your wife or your spouse brings it up, you know, you're like, aren't we past this? And clearly no, because there's still hurt and scars. And every time someone is pulled over, every time an African-American is, you know, abused by law enforcement, or the justice system reinforces, you know, its historical bias, it opens a wound. And I think our white brothers and sisters just have to recognize and understand. I'll close by saying this. Recently, there's a military officer that was pulled over by police, pepper sprayed. I think you've seen that on. I saw it this morning, and literally my wife and I told our son, he's not driving to school, because there is a fear. He misplaced his driver's license. And our fear now is, he gets in his car, he drives, he gets pulled over, we don't know, you know, what that could turn into. And so when you operate from that place of, you know, from that perspective, I mean, I just think we have to, you know, recognize all the dynamics that are at work and at play. Collective, we got to figure out how to come together to solve for the X that continues to plague us.
So, Rob, I think I'll just leave it to you to, you know, kind of speak on that. You know, for those that just kind of feel frozen by fear, that know there is a problem, but just don't know where to start. Why is Together We Can a good place to start? And where do we start with Together We Can?
Well, where we start is togetherwecan.one, O-N-E, is the name of the website. Just real simple to sign up. Obviously, there's no cost involved here at all. There's so much apprehension, fear as well, when it comes to taking that initial step into the space of dealing with race. I'll tell you, at our, when our dying events are completed, especially our first time participants, you see two emotions on their faces when they come out, almost universally. And that is one of relief that, my goodness, I can have this kind of conversation without being blamed for saying something wrong, blamed for something in the past. Just this relief of, okay, I don't need to be afraid of this conversation. And the second emotion you see, and you see it on their face, you can see it in their heart rate, because their speech patterns go up real fast, is one of excitement. And one that is, we can do this. We can take this issue back. We can take this conversation back. So it is one where I would, number one, tell folks, I appreciate and understand maybe some apprehension or reluctance when it comes to race, but please know that everybody who goes through this opportunity comes out with an empowerment of, oh my goodness, I can do this. And with Together We Can, it not only is our dying event where we have folks who, you know, come and talk about race, but it's the monthly action items that we provide everybody, which is an educational component. We provide an hour's worth of material, no more than an hour, to digest for the 30 days over a month. And we cover our history. We do it in an interesting way. And we cover also introspective education about our blind spots, about our biases, whatever it may be, in a non-political, non-religious, non-judgmental way. It's a very positive way. And it's those things that, you know, we've been fortunate to be able to use a short clip from the famed documentarian Ken Burns, who gave us permission to use one of his short stories, and many other beautiful stories and historical lessons from different authors and different perspectives. So it's something that is easy to do. to something that you can do on your own time. And then when you make that first step in having the conversation at one of our dine events, I promise you, you'll come out with saying, you know what? Okay, I can do my role. It may be a small role. It may be a bigger role, whatever it may be. But me just bringing myself into this conversation, into this space, and being an example just by having done that for your family, your children, your neighbors, your friends, they see you taking a positive approach to this. That in and of itself is progress in this country. And it will permeate throughout our country as we go.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.